Welcome to the Community Podcast from your friends at the Community Paper. My name is Nick Cercudillo. I'm the managing editor at the paper, and I'd like to welcome editorial coordinator and amazing writer, my favorite writer at the paper. Don't tell any of the other writers. Kendall Asprey is here. Hey, Kendall.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be back after the summer. I know we were going back and forth a lot about events before I left, so I'm excited to be back.
We had a standing podcast every week talking about events. So I thought I'd talk about some of the events that are coming up for this weekend. And there are a lot of literary events. There's a lot of like fallish festivals and a couple others that I thought were really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's get into it.
All right. So Saturday, October 11th, we're going to start out at 9 a.m. This is running from 9 to 2. The Four Roots Harvest Festival is going on over at the Four Roots Farm Campus. That's over in the Packing District. So that'll be going on in the morning and the afternoon. They'll also have the farmer's market. There'll be a bit of a fair. And if you haven't been to the Four Roots Farm Campus in a while, they've got so much more stuff there now than they've had. The barn has been raised. There's a lot going on out there that you should learn about. So that's a really cool one. On the literary side, Live at the Oak Poetry Performance and Pollination is happening at the Manila Museum of American Art from 11 to 1 on Saturday. And another literary event, more kid-related, is going on over at Kaya, Unleash the Genius Storytime with Authentic Arts Orlando. That's at noon. That night, if you want to get spooky over in Audubon Park, they've turned Zombietoberfest as their annual Halloween event. So it was usually just a market that happened on Sunday. Now they split it into 2 days. So Zombietoberfest night, which I think is going to have like costumes and other fun stuff and stuff for kids, is going on from 4 to 8 on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, they'll have the market. And that is going on from 11 to 5. So that's all over in Audubon Park.
Whew,
that was a lot. Okay, so more stuff. Sunday is another festival, Freehand Fest. So that's at Freehand Goods over in College Park. That's from noon to 5. There's going to be a fall festival at Palmer's Feed and Seed over in the Paramore area from 1 to 4. Trick and Treat. Trick and Treat? Trick or Treat Safe Zone is happening over at the Orlando Public Library and Orange County Regional History Center. This is a really cool event where you go back and forth between the two buildings, and they have all sorts of stuff going on for kids. And
is one a trick and one's a treat?
One's, you got to pick. You don't know which is going to be which. Yeah, it's really good. So that's from noon to 3. I like that. And then you can finish off the night with a couple of literary events. There's Latinx Heritage and Poetry Night over at Spiral Circle Bookstore and More at 6:30. And then the Midnight Marauder Story Hour brought to you by the wonderful people over at Vulgar Geniuses. This is a literary reading series that they've done for, I think, around 5 years now. I think we should probably do a story about them over at Stardust Video and Coffee. And that is at 7. How are you going to, as the person who I send out to cover all of these events, how are you going to do all of those in one weekend, Kendall?
I can't reveal my secrets.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, I might have clones of me.
I wish you luck. That's a good idea. I wish there were 80 Kendalls for every one of
me. That would be scary.
No. We couldn't let you like around each other. Because when you clone and you, it's like a time travel thing. If you see your own clone, you explode.
Yeah, are you going to pay all 80 Kendalls?
Yes. Yes. I will absolutely do that. Kendall, you've been writing for us for a while now.
Yeah.
You had a really big summer that we'll talk about in a little bit, going up to New York City, living there for a few months and working at the New York Times. While you were up there, somehow managing to do a bunch of work for them, probably a bunch of work at UCF, you were also working on a story for us that was really important.
Yes, yeah.
And one that we have online. We'll have links to everything in the show notes if anybody's interested in reading more. And, you know, it's about the unhoused community here in Central Florida. And, you know, one of the things we did at the beginning of the year, actually last year, is we joined the Central Florida Journalism Collective in trying to figure out like how we make or put the emphasis back on local journalism and make people see that it's important, it's something they should support. And one of the topics we came up with was looking at the homelessness situation, looking at our unhoused neighbors. And you had a really big story that you were working on through the spring semester and into summer, right?
Yeah, I was working on it for quite some time. Like, as with anything, when you're focusing on something that constantly changes, there's always going to be some things that you have to constantly take into consideration and constantly update when you're working on that stuff. So, yeah, I started working on it in spring and worked on it throughout the whole summer.
I know from reading your story, I learned a lot about all the different organizations, whether they are offering some sort of place to sleep, or they're offering other services that people who are looking for a home need.
And honestly, I think I'm really grateful for that person who reached out via email in response to my first story. I think that I wrote about Orlando's approach to homelessness and kind of how that carried over in as a result of the camping ban. So a reader reached out and was like, "So if the city provides grants to all of these different organizations, obviously they have like money to address this. Like, why don't they just put it into one organization and build like a massive housing shelter?" And while that sounds like a checkbox solution, I think it really opened my eyes to be able to kind of get answers for that reader and see what all the different organizations are doing. Because like you said, like, yes, some of them may be providing housing, but others are helping them get their identification. They're helping people find food and find healthcare, mental health counseling, legal services. So I think it's really important to take that holistic picture into consideration that maybe people take for granted, just resources and everyday tasks and things that they automatically have that maybe they're not considering that not everybody has access to. And I think that was really important in kind of understanding the situation for those for our neighbors that are unhoused in the Orlando community specifically.
I'm also very excited about the next step of these stories, which are going to be portraits of some of the people who have gone through some of the organizations that have helped them and really tried to, I think that one thing that we lose in all this is that it's very hard to remember that these are not only people, but not necessarily the same people every time. Especially when you use a term like homeless, I struggle with homeless and unhoused and sometimes saying the right thing. And just thinking about it as you may get an image in your head of this is the population, this is that population. And it's so varied. There's so many people who are a paycheck away or a job firing away from not being able to make the rent, that it changes all the time. These aren't the same for, 3, 4, 5,000, depending on the population studies that we have of the unhoused population here in Central Florida. It changes on a day-to-day basis, it changes. And so we're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that profile series that we're working on currently because I think it really helps people. Not only does, the series that I worked on help them understand what organizations do, what these organizations provide for people in our community, but then you're going to actually get to hear from some of these people how those organizations help them rather than just providing statistics or like testimonies from people who work in these organizations, if that makes sense. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited for the community to be able to read that because I think it's really important.
Yep, and we can expect that coming out. We're in October now. I think we're going to start that series by around the end of October. You should start seeing those coming out, and hopefully in the November issue of the paper. The October issue is out now. If you want to go pick that up, it is available at more than 500 local organizations and businesses. Let's go on to the next story that you're working on. That just you're so hardworking. You have so much stuff going on. You need to remain caffeinated at all times. Is that correct?
It is very true. And I actually kind of taking a little side note, I'm a part of a student organization here at UCF called Her Campus UCF. I'm sure I've talked about it before. I'm currently editor in chief of that, but I also like to write as well. And I just wrote a piece, like it's more of a personal piece on a lot of like coffee shops in the area. And I literally think the opening lines was like, as a college student and as someone who works for like a local newspaper in the community, I often accidentally find myself stumbling into the doors of new coffee shops.
Perfect. I didn't even read that. I just know you so well.
Yeah, you just know me so well, and
Yeah.
that's so true. I love coffee and I love the entire process of coffee from like the actual learning from beans to cup. Like, it's really so interesting to me. So I'm really excited about this next story.
Yeah, because I think there's it's going to be about the sort of cultural background of some coffees. And so there's a coffee culture I think we talk about, which is I like to go. I like how they roast the beans. You know, I like all the different flavors. But then there is sort of more of a coffee culture when it comes to, well, what's the background, the ethnic background or the nationality of the coffee and the way that it's prepared, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'll give a little sneak peek into what it's going to be about. So there are a couple of coffee shops that have opened relatively recently, within this year at least, that have brought like kind of a new perspective to coffee as Orlando knows it. Maybe it's not new to like people who are opening these places, but so I'm really excited how this is going to kind of change the coffee landscape in Orlando. And something that I thought was really sweet was when I was talking to one of the owners of this coffee shop, he was like, the Orlando coffee scene is second to none. And I really found that to be like, I agree. And I really find that to be like interesting and inspiring to kind of take that as I'm working on this piece, because there are just so many different ways to approach coffee. But ultimately, the underlying thing is that it brings people together. And I just think that's really cool. But a couple of ones we want to talk about is you actually covered the opening of Aguilera Coffee. So So that is a Mexican-inspired coffee shop. So it's taking Hispanic-inspired roots to make these super cool drinks. I haven't been yet. I'm so excited to go, and I'm so excited to talk to the owners a little bit more about how they're approaching coffee and what their like take on it is and what inspires them. But some people that I did get to talk to already is the owners of Luminescent. So this is a little bit out of our coverage area. It's in East Orlando, closer to the university, but they opened a coffee shop and cocktail bar. So it's like a coffee shop by day and a cocktail bar by night. And something that was really cool about the people that I got to talk to yesterday was kind of talking about how they take their Indian inspired influences. And it's not just from India as a whole. They were talking about the different regions and kind of how this spice affects this drink. And they have so many different curated drinks on their menu that are taken from so many different inspirations and influences. And you can even see it in the architecture when you walk in. They told me that the first thing that they purchased when they were opening this shop was like the stone like bar tops. So basically, if you walk in, they'll have the coffee bar and the actual bar like right in front in the center. And it's made out of this beautiful smooth stone. And they were talking about the significance of that to them as well. So I'm super excited about this piece because not only is it so fun for me to learn about coffee, but I'm excited to share it with other people too who might not have the chance to talk to the owners or really dive into that history and that inspiration. So that's just a couple of the like secret elements I'm working on for this piece.
Well, I like the idea of, even though that's outside of our coverage area, people travel not only a different food experience, but a different drink experience. So whether that's coffee or a bar or something along those lines, so they might go and try it. But I think we also have a Turkish, Arabic, Greek influence on coffee in some places. We'll find some of those, but there's a pop-up going on right now outside of DeGress Wine Bar in College Park. There's a coffee coffee food truck named Zane that's popping up that promises Middle Eastern flavors, at least when it comes to the desserts. But I don't know if you've ever had Turkish or Greek or Middle Eastern coffee. It is so strong. It is so strong, and they boil it with the grounds in it. So it is also where you can look at the end and kind of tell your future from how the grounds are laying.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. If that were me, the grounds would be gone because I would have just chewed them. Eaten them.
But then there's also big Vietnamese. So if you look at Blackfin or Hot Coffee or some of the others, you know, I have never tried egg foam, which is something they finish Vietnamese coffee off with. And it's delightful. I've had that at Blackfin a number of times. And so, yeah, there are these new experiences that you can have without really trying that hard just around Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a really cool thing. And I love the idea of cafe hopping. So you can always, like, especially in downtown area, within the Main Street district, it's relatively close to where you can go, like, get a little taste of everything, essentially, if you cafe hop around these areas. And a lot of them have a big enough space to where you can work in these coffee shops and have, like, a lot of them are event spaces too. I know Luminescent was telling me that they're planning on making it an event space as well. So that's something that's really special about Orlando's coffee shop specifically. And we've covered that a number of times, the fact that the coffee shops in Orlando often serve as a third space for Orlando residents. So I'm super excited about what these new additions are going to offer for Orlando and for the coffee scene in general, because it's definitely a hot spot for the beverage for sure.
Wow, I need cold brew right now because it's still a little too warm for me. But yes, it is a hot spot. I did allude to this earlier, your internship at the New York Times over the summer. I'm very proud of you for doing that, for scoring that. And just in terms of what you did recently, right? Like after this happened, after you were back?
Yeah, I worked on it a little bit while I was there. I started it working with my editor while I was there. But yes, it got published a couple weeks ago. So yeah.
So you were there as the internship. You were going into the New York Times building and everything, but you were there as an editor for the most part. So you weren't
Yes.
necessarily writing a bunch of stuff like you do for
Correct.
us.
Yeah, so it was actually entirely different from a lot of the roles that I've had, except for a few. But I was an intern on the flexible editing desk, which is essentially the Times refers to it as their SWAT team of editors because they do a little bit of everything. They edit articles from all over the newsroom, all the different desks, whether it's national, style, science, well, all of that. So they edit that, but not only also newspaper or newsletters, the game columns, social posts, and things like that. So whatever essentially the newsroom needs help with, will kind of be that on-hand help to try to make sure that the editing process is going smoothly, because the New York Times actually doesn't have a copy desk like it used to. So we kind of stepped in to kind of fill that gap, if that makes sense. So I was interning on this desk, so I really got to edit a little bit of everything. And that's kind of what the story is about that I wrote and published with them within recent weeks. It's about my experience working at the Times and also an actual experience I have that served as the anecdote for the internship, which was in the midsummer. The managing editor, one of the managing editors of the Times, Mark Lacey, stopped me and Anna Fleming, which was one of my friends that I was working with on the flexible editing desk, and asked if we wanted to climb to the top of the New York Times building. And knowing me, I was like, yes, of course, we will totally go with you. And the New York Times building is 52 floors high. It's the 12th tallest building in the city. So we climbed over 1,100 stairs to the top of the building with, it was me, Anna, Mark Lacey, and then a couple other editors who tagged along with us of different desks. And yeah, we spent like 30 minutes climbing all the stairs. And it just really reminded me of kind of how editing is a step-by-step process, actually,
Oh,
pun
nice.
intended, but yeah, exactly. So, and kind of like how we were able to contribute to a lot of different areas of the newsroom. So that was a really fun piece to write because it was different than a lot of the pieces I normally get to write, which are very news-based, kind of outsourced, like I'm looking externally at things and telling those stories. So it was kind of fun to be able to step back into my own voice for a bit and tell a story that had happened during one of my days of my internship and kind of how that reflected the summer as a whole. So.
Did you have to climb back down, or were you able to take the elevator
No,
back
we were
down?
able to take an elevator, thankfully.
That's good. And you didn't go up all the way to the roof, right? You just was just
The
to the
roof
top
was
floor.
locked.
Dang
Yeah,
it.
I know. I was very, very sad that we weren't going to get to see the roof, but apparently it's like super windy and dangerous. So,
Yeah, no, you probably don't want to go out there. Well,
intern
nice.
whisked off the type of the top of the building.
And yeah, you wouldn't even be able to edit that. Oh, that's so sad. I mean, that's so great. That part is sad that you flying away. But since you're not flying away and you're here, that's wonderful. And we really appreciate that. So follow along with the community paper, and you can see all of Kendall's incredible work. You can also follow Kendall at Words by Kendall, that's with one L on Instagram. And you can follow us, Community Paper Orlando, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the newsletters, do all those sorts of things if you would like. And Yeah, make sure that you pick up a copy of the latest issue. We've got a lot of October stuff in there, October stuff, Halloween stuff, and
October stuff.
October stuff, stuff to do with the month of October. And yeah, so please pick up the issue and you can see my work and her work and the work of all of our incredible writers. So thank you very much, Kendall.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and I hope everyone has a great week, and definitely pick up one of those copies because Center Stage looks absolutely amazing this month. I have it on my wall outside, so in the common space. So definitely pick
Nice.
it up.
Definitely. And do that too. It's a poster for
Yeah,
everybody.
exactly.
All right. Thanks.